Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to bring you another portion of our prophecy series called Image of the Beast. This is the third week of a 10-week series which gives some insight into the concepts of the beasts of Revelation. It includes information on the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, the number 666, and also explains how these prophecies are being fulfilled, not in the coming future, but right now, in these current last days. If any portion of this series interests you, please feel free to contact us and ask for the complete series. It is contained on 4 CDs and also includes the written transcript in case you would like to read it separately or follow along with the CD. Listen at the end of each program for our contact information. And, by the way, this study series, like any of our material, is free for the asking. No donation is necessary. So let's continue with part 3 of Image of the Beast. In Revelation 13:12-14, it says, "And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and those who dwell there to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and yet lived." There are some specific points from verses 11 through 14 that we should look at, and these specific items will give us a general outline for our course of study. First, the second beast rises up out of the earth, not the sea, as did the first beast. Second, he, the second beast, causes the earth and those who dwell on the earth to worship the first beast. Third, this first beast, which had seven heads, was wounded with a sword as unto death, yet lived. Fourth, the second beast does great wonders. He brings fire down from heaven in the sight of men. Fifth, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Sixth, his power to do these miracles were only with the power of the first beast, not some other power. And seventh, he convinces the people of earth to build an image of the first beast. He doesn't build it himself. Let's take a look at the first point on the list, where it says, "The first beast comes up out of the sea, and the second beast rises up out of the earth." The initial beast rising was the animal nature taken on by Satan, who, with a third of the angels, left his first estate, his first existence with God. He rose up out of the sea in the sense that this original beast nature was born out of the doctrine which destroys life. To explain this, we must look at the term waters as used in Scripture, which indicate either that which is truth, the living waters from heaven, and which quenches the thirst for the knowledge of God, or that which deceives, those waters that are impure, undrinkable, full of lies, and consequently leading the listener to their destruction by being overwhelmed with the waves of deceit, drowning in the waters of the sea. These two types of water in Scripture represent the truth of God and the deception of Satan. In the beginning, God created the heavens and also the earth. it says that the earth was without form and it was void of substance. There was nothing on the earth. There was no trees, no grass, no dry ground, let alone birds, fish, or animals. The earth was empty of all life. The only thing on this giant ball was the mass of waters which covered the earth. God's first act of creation was to create light. This initial light was not the sun nor the moon, but just plain light. The sun and moon were not created until the fourth day. The light created that first day was light from God. Man, who would be created on the sixth day, would need the light of heaven in order to overcome the world and make his eternal abode with God. But we know that the light from heaven must illuminate knowledge, for the thing that man would need most was the true knowledge of God, so that he could come to know God. On earth, in the beginning, there were two kinds of waters, which are symbolic of the two kinds of doctrine in our world. The one kind of water is the water of the Word of God, which gives life. The other kind of water is the lies of Satan, which drown men in destruction. The light could illuminate, could reveal what was there, but there was still a problem. Although the light illuminated both kinds of waters, they were, as yet, combined. They were not separate from one another, and this would hinder man's comprehension. Man needed to see a distinction between the two waters in order to compare them with each other. However, God, in his wisdom, had a plan to reveal the truth of himself and to expose the deception of Satan, which had already taken its toll on a third of the angels. God had a plan that would allow man to see the difference between the truth of God and lies of Satan. The initial chapter of Genesis reveals that God's second act was to make a separation between the water from above, which would give life eternal, and the water from below, which would drown men in destruction. He created what is called a firmament. Now, a firmament is nothing more than an expanse, an opening, a visible separation between two objects. At first, the waters were combined. There could be no comprehension of the two kinds of waters, for originally there was just one mass of water, some being pure and some being impure. Confusion reigned concerning the knowledge of God. Anytime you combine truth with a lie, you have a lie. You have confusion. In order to have truth, you have to separate the truth from the lie. Make a clear distinction between the two, and then you can determine which is which. After you determine which is lie and which is truth, you can choose which one to accept. The firmament was God's way of making a distinction between the truth of God and the lies of Satan, and thereby giving man a place on the earth in which to live his life in contemplation of good and evil. Once the firmament was in place, then the light that God had first created would expose the qualities of each kind of water and reveal that the truth was of God, and the lies were of Satan, and that the lies were foolishness, without reason, brutish, animalistic, beastly. Unless God was to make a way for truth to be recognized as good, no one could serve God by faith in God. If confusion reigned, those who served God might only do so out of loyalty and not out of knowledge of the truth. After all, God tells us that He, God, is the truth, but Satan tells mankind that he, Satan, is the truth. Any being, including angels or mankind, or anything else that exists, must be able to comprehend the knowledge of the truth for themselves and make a determination of whether God truly is good, as he says he is, or whether he isn't. Of course, God is all-powerful, so he could easily force man to serve him, but God's intent is far above that. He recognizes that man must be able to come to him in his own free will. Otherwise, God would not be loved, but only served in dutiful obedience. Service to him must come because the person fully recognizes the inherent goodness of God, and not because the only alternative is hell. If it is only force that causes man to serve God, and not true love for God himself, God would be unable to find pleasure in that service to him. I know that we, as humans, could enforce service to ourselves in a given situation where it was necessary, but our pleasure of being served would not be complete unless the servant served us out of genuine love for us. To be served against the servant's will can never give the pleasure of being served out of acceptance and love. Now, let's look again at the first beast. This first beast rose up from, was born out of, the waters under the earth, or in essence, the lower waters. It is the lower waters that drown men in perdition, which means to their destruction. The waters from above bring the showers to water the seed of the earth and to make it grow. Seas are large bodies of water, and for the most part are salty. Mankind cannot drink salt water, but must have pure water to drink. Man must also refrain from drinking water that is contaminated with impurities. Therefore, any water which is tainted by impurities or contaminated by salt or excess chemicals or both will destroy man. Satan's abode is, symbolically speaking, the sea, for it is the sea which will kill mankind if he partakes of the waters. In essence, Satan's abode is in the great mass of lies which contaminate the truth of God. And rather than quenching man's thirst for true knowledge, causes man's death and destruction. The Dead Sea at the southern end of Israel is especially contaminated, for it is the lowest point on earth, and it has symbolic significance in reference to Behemoth, mentioned in Job chapter 40, where it says that Behemoth is confident he can drink up Jordan. This refers to the pure waters coming down from the lofty heights of Mount Hermon, which sits at the northern end of Israel. The waters are both from pure underground springs and from the snow which falls on the mountain's top. Both sources of this water, whether from underground springs or waters from above which come down as snow, rain, or dew, are initially pure. As the springs bring forth pure water, and as the snow melts from the top of the mountain, the waters meander down the northern and southern river valley and eventually flow into the Dead Sea. This symbolically indicates that the lies of Satan continue to contaminate the truth of God, and eventually, if the doctrine of Satan is not checked, the waters will end up in the Dead Sea, or in essence, completely swallowed up by the lies, the doctrine of error. This is Satan's intent, his purpose on the earth, to completely swallow up the truth of God and replace it with his own form of doctrine. This is a reference to Matthew 24:22 and Mark 13:20, which tells us that the days of God's set timetable must be shortened in order that Satan's lies do not completely destroy the truth of God on the earth and all men be lost. But when that time is cut short and the truth is finally revealed concerning Satan's waters of destruction, his lies and deceptions, then the people of earth will be lifted up in victory, at least those who recognize and accept God's true word and drink deeply of the pure waters from heaven. Now, in addition to these concepts, we need to look at Job chapter 41, where we read about Leviathan, the sea monster. Leviathan is another symbolic name for Satan and is used to describe his work in regards to the waters of destruction. Leviathan is that first beast of Revelation 13, the beast nature, which was chosen and exalted by Satan. Behemoth is also described in Job chapter 40 and is representative of the second beast, but we'll get to that later. By first coming to an understanding of the significance of Leviathan, you will be able to see the significance of Behemoth. According to the book of Job, Leviathan's abode is in the sea. It's a ferocious beast. It is totally destructive, and the only one who can tame it is God himself. God created it, therefore he has power over it. The Bible uses the symbolism of Leviathan to explain the tremendous destructive power of the beast nature. It is a monster. It will destroy any man who comes near to it. It cannot be tamed. It cannot be caught and killed, except by God himself. Jesus, as the man-God, aptly demonstrated this by overcoming man's sinful fleshly nature, thereby giving one more proof that he was indeed God. But the animal nature is powerful to destroy men, and what it destroys is the spirit man. The carnal nature will rise up in war against the spirit, and the only hope man has of not being destroyed by this beast is to stay away from it and turn to God for help. Man, in his own strength, cannot fight it. The only way man can be victorious over this beast nature is through the power of God himself. Any other hope is soon dashed in pieces. The only person who was ever able to defeat the beast nature was Jesus Christ, who is God. We can have hope to overcome the beast nature through him. Leviathan is said to dwell in the sea because the beast nature only flourishes in the midst of Satan's lies. If there were no waters of perdition, no waters of destruction, no satanic doctrine, no twisted truth, then the spirit man would have no trouble overcoming anything in the world. But man cannot overcome that monster with his own strength, for the beast nature operates through flesh and blood to destroy man. Fleshly man, carnal man, is subject to earthly desires, and the flesh welcomes anything that will stimulate it. Satan, as Leviathan, the sea beast, uses the sea, his lying doctrine, to deceive man and thereby corrupt him unto death. And this brings us to the second beast, which is the animal nature developed in man. It is also symbolized by the term behemoth, used in Job chapter 40. Man has succumbed to the temptation of Satan. Just as the serpent beguiled Eve, deceived Eve, all mankind has been deceived and has entered into sin by leaving the perfect obedience to God and giving in to the animal nature in one form or another. From the time that sin entered the world through the sin of Eve, that flesh nature has been prevalent in man. Man, from that day on, is born into sin, born into an existence where the beast nature is in him. To enter into sin is to set aside reason, and thereby act as an animal acts, as beasts act. Man was not put on earth to act as animals and to throw reason out the window. Man was meant to see the different concepts of knowledge, to contemplate this knowledge, and eventually come to the understanding of who God is and what he wants from us. man's destiny is to make a decision to serve God. However, if man caters to his flesh, as his beast nature wants him to, he will never rise above the level of animals. He will never be born again as a spirit man. In Job chapter 40, Behemoth is described as a huge beast which lives in the swamps and mire. This is symbolic of where man lives if he caters to his fleshly nature. In the Bible, God warns us to keep our feet on solid ground and not to walk in the mire. Psalms 40, verse 2 says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." The symbolism tells us that we must stay away from waters of destruction. Even more than that, we need to stay away from low places where the waters of destruction are so prevalent that it will make the ground unstable. It will make the ground soft, and we would sink into the mire and get stuck there. This just means that we should stay as far away as possible from the sinfulness of the flesh. We must stay away from the lies and deceptions of Satan, and we must stay away from the stimulations of the flesh which entice us to come close to Satan's waters of destruction, for they will lure us to our destruction. Eventually, we would be dragged into the deep waters, and the lies of Satan would overwhelm us, destroying our faith in God. Without faith in God, we would have no hope and would experience eternal death and, in essence, will have drowned in Satan's sea of destruction. But man, because of the pull of the flesh, has embraced the animal nature, the beast nature. The second beast of Revelation has risen up in man, and that beast nature, which so corrupted Satan and a third of the angels, has risen up now out of the earth. It is now man who has also embraced that beast nature. Although man tries not to go directly into the deep sea of Satan's lies, the waters which will drown him in destruction, still, because man's beast nature loves the things that Satan uses as temptation, he leaves his solid footing and tries to live as close to the dangerous waters as possible in order to get all of Satan's merchandise he can get. An extension of this symbolism is that the merchants of earth ply their trade to humans. Their merchandise is anything which stimulates the flesh rather than the spirit of man. The Bible uses the symbolism of ships as the merchant's mode of delivery to accompany the symbolism of Satan's sea of false doctrine. This is why Tyre and Sidon, the two principal port cities of Scripture, are included in Bible prophecy. They are the liaisons of trade connecting the people of earth to the sea of destruction. Therefore, the symbolism of Behemoth is used to denote man's beast nature that loves to reside as close to the sea as possible in order to be near the worldly stimulations of the flesh. Even Christians, and not just the wicked of the earth, tend to embrace the beast nature, letting the lure of the flesh dominate their lives. Instead of living as far from the lies and deceptions as possible, they keep going into the lowlands, keep going into the mire, thinking they can get back out onto solid ground anytime they want to. Satan, by his lies, continues to lure them into the mire, knowing they will eventually be sucked in deeper and soon be drowned. The lure of the worldly nature is strong. The desires of the flesh are strong. The only hope for man is to turn from the desires of the flesh and to desire the things of the Spirit, to desire the things of God. God is a Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is no alternative if man wants to live forever with God instead of being condemned to hell. man cannot continue to play in the swamps and glens. He can't continue to dabble in the flesh, for the beast nature will continue to draw him. The lies will continue to deceive him, and eventually he will be overcome with them.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's program was a portion of the study series concerning the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the number 666. If you would like a copy of the complete study series, just contact us and ask for the message, Image of the Beast. It is a 4-CD series and also includes the written 50-page transcript. And as always, there is no charge for any of our material. We believe God will supply our needs as He sees fit. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.